everyone, and welcome back to part two of your favorite podcast in the whole world, regardless of the title or the content or the things that we talk about or the anything TV shows. It's your favorite podcast of all time. I know it. We know it's all true. It's Grey's Academy, the Grey's Anatomy podcast everyone is talking about. And we're back, part two. I don't remember the name of this episode. It's
Map of You.
Yes, part two. I'm Carmen. She's Kelsey. Let's do the thing.
We're going to start with everyone's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland!
There is one.
Is it the ankle guy?
No.
Fuck! Are you fucking kidding me?
No.
Is it Mickey?
No.
Am I supposed to know this?
I thought you would, because when I was doing it earlier, you said, well, I know there's at least one. And I thought it was the ankle guy.
Is it not Emma? Is it his wife?
Yeah.
What is she in?
Scandal.
Who is she?
She's like a one lady. She's there one episode.
Oh, okay. My bad.
Her name is Louise Baker.
I knew that, actually.
Oh, you know what? I think she was, she was the governor of Florida when Melly and Susan were running for president. And they had to go to Florida. She was the governor of Florida. Also, way more fun. That woman is the voice of Bo Peep in all the Toy Story movies.
Wait, really?
Yep.
That is way more fun.
I know.
Wow. Talk about a strong female character.
Ah, so true. But yes, anyways, that's the only one this time. This time around.
So that's it? She's just one episode of Scandal?
Yep. And her name is Annie Potts.
Annie Potts. Do you have any pots I could borrow? Thank you.
No.
Thank you.
I don't. Okay. Okay. So let's talk about... What should we talk about?
I guess let's just finish up really quick. So that scene... it's a little unfair with... I think what Owen is doing to Emma with not being forthright.
Yeah, it's like everyone in the hospital knows that. It's not like, how can you think she's going to survive that day without getting that information?
Yeah. Or someone being like, oh, hey, it's really cool of you that you work with Owen. Like, you're okay with Owen's ex-wife and him working together. Like,
yeah, exactly.
It's so casual. What I will tell you, my real beef with the storyline is they're leading us to believe that Christina still wants Owen for some reason. Like that scene at the end where she, and I know we're going to talk about Meredith in a little bit, but like that scene in the end, she looks at Owen and Owen's kissing Emma and like, clearly they're okay because she sent a nuke out there and then they ate banana bread together. Now they're kissing. And then on the other side, she looks at Meredith, who's clearly going through a lot. And it's a week after she nukes her relationship with Meredith and says some kind of like crazy stuff. So Christina's in this weird spot. I don't know what's going on. No one knows what's going on. It's crazy.
Also, the scene where Christina sees Owen and Emma together, that piano music was like the piano music that they used early episodes of like Owen and Christina.
Yeah.
I know. I was like, that's an interesting choice.
Wow. Yeah. She still wants his wiener.
Also, like when I was saying like the directing on this one, that just like all the fade cuts were so like, or the like pan over into like a different scene kind of cuts were so interesting. It wasn't bad. It was just a departure from the norm, I would say, of the visual language of the show.
You know, there were that scene where Meredith's like, where's my cup? And then I think April says Steph had it, and she yells Steph, and then it cuts to Steph, but it's not actually her talking. It's Joe saying something.
Yeah,
I get kind of like that vibe. Yeah. Who's that guy from Ant-Man where he's given that crazy retelling of the story going on?
Yes. I know who. I don't know the name, but you know who you're talking about.
It feels very that. But I actually liked the directing
the I had no issue with it. I just was like, it was very noticeable solely because it was so different than what we're used to seeing on this show. But not in a negative way. That was just, it just stood out because of that. But I think that's cool. Like, if you get to be a director, you know, things like that are going to be what makes you stand out. So I do think, you know, make your mark.
Yeah.
It's an art. It's an artwork, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
Okay, so, yeah, did you have anything else for the Owen and Christina before we do the Meredith and Christina?
No, let's do Meredith and Christina.
So, Meredith, from the get-go of this episode, is being a bit standoffish. Clearly, her feelings were hurt with everything that happened with Christina last time. And it doesn't feel like Christina recognizes that. And I will say it's tricky because I'm a Christina apologist, but I try to be unbiased in this scenario. I said last week that I agreed with her kicking her off the surgery, but I didn't agree with a lot of the things that she said afterwards. I do think that, to be quite honest, I don't think that Christina realizes how hurtful what she said was, because I think her assumption is like, well, Meredith knows that I love her kids, so like I don't need to, you know, like clarify any of this, when that's not the case. You do need to clarify. At the same time, I do think Meredith needed to tell her like, hey, you said all these things and that was fucked up. And she does kind of say it in this episode, but like it's not in the moment anymore. So I think it kind of takes Christina back and she's like, what is happening? So they're clearly not in a great spot right now. Meredith is not feeling supported, which is understandable.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting because you could tell by the way Christina just kind of sits down in the room. She just jumps right in and she says, mm-hmm. Wow, it's crazy. Like watching them kiss she made history today, which is like such, I mean, it's true, but it's like a very flippant comment. And on the heels of that comment from last week, mm-hmm. And then she goes, but then also I tried to use the paper towel thing, the auto blow dryer, and it doesn't understand that I am a human, so I feel like I'm a robot. And then, you know, Meredith is like, I'm gonna 3D print fucking portal veins, dude, because I have a career and a family, and don't say I can't. And, you know, then she calls back.
So, like, Meredith says, I'm gonna 3D print portal veins. And Christina's like, that's amazing, and starts to say, how are you going to? Which, to me, could just be, how are you going to like do the what's the research?
Yeah, like what's your plan?
Expound on
like,
your plan. And Meredith immediately cuts her off and is like, don't ask me how I'm going to be able to do it, because I can, and it doesn't matter what you think about my family. And I'm like, and she's like, you can't tell me that I can't do this. And Christina's like, I never said you couldn't do this. And Meredith's like, yes, you did. And I'm like, okay, again, we are just like harboring our negative feelings and putting words into people's mouths when that's not what the words were. You don't put words in people's mouths. You put turkey in people's mouths.
Yeah. And so, other things that may be sexual if there's consent. The other thing with that too is like when Meredith says, you push me aside because I have a baby. She did not push you aside because you have a baby. Okay. Yeah. To your point, she pushed you aside because the baby situation took your focus away from the patient, and she was doing what she thought was best for the patient. It had nothing to do with because you have a kid. It was those it's causation versus correlation 101. Right. Now, when she says that you don't have time for people who don't want the things that you don't want, or you don't have time for people who want things you don't want. Honestly, I could see where Meredith is coming on that, and I do kind of agree with that a little bit. And that's honestly not a fault. I think that's just kind of human nature.
But it's like, also like people, canonically untrue, because Callie and Christina have a great relationship. Meredith and Christina work great together. Like, it's just like that.
I think it's more the communication.
Grey's Anatomy 101. Yep. Poor communication.
Yeah. But I do think I should call out, in life in general, if you have a kid, it's easier to keep up with people who also have kids versus people who don't have kids remaining in touch with people who do have kids. Like, life changes, things get in the way. This is not that case exactly. This is, you know, those are two very separate things.
Yeah.
But I like that Meredith says something. I don't think she handles the conversation like really amazing or flawless, but she says something, and that should open a dialogue, which I'm hopeful for.
Yeah. Because we don't like it when they fight.
No. No, 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 we don't. I really don't have too many more things to say specifically on them and their relationship in general. I'm really happy with, like, the resolution with Derek, right? Where
Well, and we didn't really mention that Meredith is, this episode, trying to pick a research project to get a grant for. And she's going back and forth on some random project and then a project that her mother had started. And everyone, of course, is like, you got to do that one. And she is doing her thing of like, I don't want to, you know, ride Ellis's coattails. And like, it's not what it is. And she, you know, she gets there. She's like, it's because we share a passion, which is good. That's like, you should be working on something you're passionate on.
Yeah, I also don't think, I don't know that I am on Meredith's side when she's talking to Callie, and Callie's like, yeah, like, invest in your brand. And Meredith's like, you make me sound like a soda. No, like, your brand is a lot of things. It's a very nebulous idea as a construct, right? And the Gray name is a brand in a sense. You know? So I think that she's not doing it for the right reasons. She's not actively riding the coattails. And we've also established in the show that pretty much nepotism is everywhere. So, like, just, like, lean into it. Do the thing. It's like Star Wars, right? Like, everyone's a fucking Skywalker, right? Like, let's just, it's okay. You're a Gray. Okay. Like, fuck off. It's fine.
Yeah.
So, I like that she landed on it. But Bailey, so I forgot also, we didn't even mention. So, it's year two. It's second year now. Crazy. Where has the time gone?
It's history.
Man. Yeah. But so, Bailey makes some sort of comment on how, I guess, like, second year, the first year attendings, they take it safe. Second year, they go crazy and, you know.
Pee on trees.
I don't know. Pee on trees. That's what it was. Pee on
Mark
trees.
Mark your territory. Pee on trees. You know, it makes sense to me that they're like, you know, they got it. Because they talk a lot about, obviously, being a teaching hospital and doing research goes hand in hand with that, as far as, like, they've portrayed it, at least. Whether or not that's true, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. So she's working on that. She ends up picking an Ellis project. Again, this also kind of goes hand in hand with her, like, from the parenting aspect, and she brings it up again when she's talking to Derek. She's like, I don't want to be my mother again, because you, like, care to have the thought to not do that. You're not going to be that, like, just realistically speaking, like, because Ellis Gray would never have given a shit about, like, not being there for her daughter. Clearly that was kind of her brand that she invested in.
Yeah. That was her brand. Yeah.
So it is what it is. I think it's, the effort she makes to balance it will show and be there for her kids. Like, I think her kids will recognize that.
Yeah.
Again, I think Derek really steps up. So.
Well, and I think in this show, overall, Grace does a good job of demonstrating how someone tries to come out of the shadow of their parent in a healthy mm-hmm. way. And I don't ever, you know, Meredith's never shitting on her mom. Like, you know, oh, fucking, I'm so unlucky to be Alice's daughter. No, it's, I think she just wants to carve her own path, and it's never mm-hmm. like, a mean or malicious thing. It's never like a negative thing. I think that she wants so bad, maybe talk about this in therapy, you know, wants so bad to not be her mom that it causes more barriers in her life. Yeah. And I really like that Callie kind of is the first one to be like, dude, stop, get out of your own yeah. way. And Weber even says, portal veins, motherfucker. Like, yeah. go, I got the shits at my house. Makes yeah. poor Joe run across God's earth to get this pamphlet, journal
mm-hmm.
just for it to end up glued to a red cup.
Which represents
life.
A metaphor. So, yes. Yeah, I think, I like that she's, you know, working on the 3D, you know, printing. Don't ask her how she's going to do it. She'll get super fucking pissed, but she's going to do it. So
I like how she's sitting there pissed at a printer and then says, let me use one of these 3D printers. Maybe it'll work better.
In 2013, less reliable than they are now. Now, yes. honestly, we've come a long way with 3D printers, and it is incredible. I don't know in 2013 where we were sitting with that. I think there's a reason it was going to be like this huge deal that she chose this. Obviously, you know, that was not something that people were just out there doing.
You know, I think that it's the exact same technology. I think technology has not changed in 12 years, 13
yeah,
years.
It's yeah. I was like, it's wild.
So that's cool. I also like that Bailey was in the room and she did
from
that.
Someone that was like, 10 years is not that long. I'm like, 10 years is not that long in the grand scheme of things, but like medically speaking, that's a long time. Because like research,
1 year is a long
so
time.
So much changes research wise in the medical field that quickly. So I disagree. It is a long time.
Yeah. And things the thing with advancing. Medicine. The thing with medicine and research is like the research published in 2026 has been researched for the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's an update because new research comes out. So that research every year is going to be updated as more findings and more studies come out.
Right.
I mean, even
just like through the three pregnancies that I had that were not that far apart, like my first pregnancy was 2019 and my last pregnancy was 2024, 2025. So, but there were still like huge differences. Like certain medications that I had to take previously that I didn't have to take, even the blood test of like drawing the blood to find out the gender got earlier each time. Like, I just think it's cool. It's amazing. Like the medical yeah. research and science is good. We like science.
Yeah.
We like science. Please.
I love science.
It's not that hard to like it. It's just not that hard.
Anyone in Texas, listen to science and get one of those polio shots, please. Measles, please.
And whooping cough.
Both of them. Yeah.
Everywhere, not just Texas.
Yeah, everywhere. But like Texas, I'm looking at you, okay? Please, with the measles, okay? Please. Please.
Okay, so yes, medical research. Sounds dull to me, but Meredith is going to print some portal veins, which is neat.
There was a pretty cold line that Bailey dropped on Meredith when Meredith is like, she doesn't want to always be compared to Alice. And Bailey's like, well, it might be worse to never be compared to her. So
yeah,
that's kind of cold. That's kind of like dope. Yeah, absolutely.
Like there could be, yeah, you don't want to be compared to her as a mom and that's fine. But like she wasn't just a mom. She wasn't just a surgeon. Just like you're not just a surgeon or just a mom. Like you're people have multiple facets. Like, you know, there's complexities, there's nuances. It's fine if you don't want to be here as a mom. I'll give you, she was a pretty shitty mom, but she was a pretty great doctor. So like, not terrible to be compared
in that aspect.
Yeah. So, I think it's just,
did we talk the resolution on the Meredith Derek's storyline at the end already?
Yeah.
Well, I love it.
Yes, I do as well. I like it a lot. I think that he is really recognizing the need, and stepping up and communicating the plan. And I like that, especially after the way last episode ended with them arguing because he didn't answer his phone and then Meredith lost out on the surgery. So I liked that I thought he was very proactive about it, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And it's gotta be hard having two parents work such, you know, kind of unpredictable hours and a very demanding jobs. And again, this daycare is fucking incredible.
The real MVPs. I don't know if I said this in the previous half of the episode when we were talking about this, but when Derek turns to her and says, look, I've had my big year, like go have your big year. I really like that. I want to shout out all single parents in general, not just single parents, because they're doing the Lord's work. All parents out there, you know, being a parent is hard. But shout out to the dads who are stepping up, in a world where there's societal pressure on moms to do it all. And they do. But shout out to the dads who are out there actively trying to break down those norms and break down those,
expectations,
kind of those expectations and stereotypes we talked and inferred on last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anytime you hear someone say hands on dad, make sure you, start saying hands on moms, because you don't hear that, because that's just the expectation.
Yeah. Yeah. I know we have to talk a little bit about,
Alex
Weber still and Alex. Oh, right. And I know that this is a little bit of a shorter part two of the episode, but, should we do a quick capitalism break just in case?
Yeah. Yeah. We'll do it here.
All right. All right. Capitalism, do your thing. And thank you, capitalism. We're back. Thank you for purchasing Greenland for us.
Jesus.
All right. Do you want to talk about Weber first or Alex? Or let's talk about Weber.
Yeah, so Weber has shoulder pain and he's like bullying Joe into figuring out what it is. And it's really weird. And it's just kind of like keeps happening in the background with a lot of other stuff. And there's not like super a lot of relevance to it. However, it does offer a lot of comedic relief.
I actually found it to be all very funny.
Yeah, at one point when he said, it's very comedic. I just don't know that it's super relevant to everything else that's going on.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. It really wasn't relevant to any other storyline. When she's doing the x-ray and she's setting it all up and she's like, wait, you don't need an x-ray. You need an ultrasound. And he goes, hope you don't think I'm pregnant.
Yeah. Like, oh, you're so stupid.
Yeah. But it's funny because I think Joe actually does call him out at one point. She's like, yeah. Or she asks him the question of like, what do you think caused the pain, Weber? And he's like, I don't know. You tell me, you're the doctor. And she goes, yeah, but you're also my teacher. So
yeah, she's like, you're my teacher and my patient. Like, I don't know. I mean, it's fair. Again, we've talked about this. This has been going, he's been in this hospital. This is the whole season he's been in the hospital. Cause he honestly was electrocuted. Yeah. We're six episodes in. You know, it's getting a little tedious. I understand that he's annoyed because I'm also kind of annoyed.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. When he first got into the hospital, they were first years. You know,
so
he's
true.
Still in the hospital and then their second year. So, yeah. And then, you know, Joe ends up diagnosing a pancreatic pseudocyst.
Mm-hmm.
Which apparently the pancreas is connected to the shoulder. As they say,
there's like referred pain from the diaphragm.
I might actually have that. I got some shoulder pain. Maybe I got a pseudo pseudopancreatic cyst.
Really terrible shoulder pain after I had my abdominal surgery where they like blow air into your belly. And then my shoulder hurt really bad for a long time.
Oh. And it's better now. It's good now.
Yeah, yeah. When I say a long time, I mean like a week.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. That is a funny moment though where Joe diagnoses it and she yells, bam, and Weber's like, bam? Like what the fuck? Like be professional. What am I raising? Animals in this hospital? Which, like, you're raising like, murderers.
Maybe don't smile so much before you tell someone they have something wrong with them.
But we get the ending where he's like, this is the first time I felt like I've gotten proper medicine care in weeks. Weber, advocate for yourself, maybe? Okay?
Yeah.
Speak up.
It is confusing because I'm like, do you know what's wrong? And you're just not telling them for the teaching of it? Or, like, do you not know what's wrong? Are you making a point? I don't know.
Yeah, no idea. But glad he seems to be doing better.
Yeah. Okay, so simultaneously.
Oh, man. Give it to us, Kelsey. Give it to us.
Alex is being super weird. And Joe cannot figure it out. She's like, he hasn't come home. He's like not talking to me. What's going on? He is obviously still mad about the dad stuff. He's being super shady. He's like not spending time with her, not talking. Leah's like, he's breaking up with you. Meredith is like, does he think you're pregnant? Like all this weird stuff. And then the reveal comes. He's at the bar where Jimmy is playing. It's like halfway through the episode that they reveal that. It's not early. So what did you think was happening? And then what was your reaction with the reveal?
I assumed he was doing something related to his dad. I didn't think he was going and watching his dad play at a bar every night. And that was kind of an interesting reveal. What I don't understand is, like, Alex, just tell Joe. It makes no sense to not tell her.
It is weird that he's keeping it a secret. I don't super understand other than like, does he just not, I guess maybe he thinks, oh, she's going to make me talk about it. Well, she's your girlfriend. So that's why you have a girlfriend.
Yeah. Yeah. But when he's at the bar and you know, the guy's playing guitar was named Jimmy. I was like, okay, so they'll probably interact. And maybe it'll be something small. And then all of a sudden they're playing guitar. They're jamming together. And Jimmy starts referencing having a kid.
Well, and even before that, he says that the doctor saved his kid's life when his kid was choking on a strawberry.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And then they go to play together. And then he's like, oh, yeah, I did all this shit wrong. And like, you know, can I show you a picture of my son? And it's, spoiler alert, not Alex.
Not Alex.
And that pisses Alex off. Because he's like, you have not fucking changed at all. All this bullshit, you fucking left, and then you did it to another family.
Yeah.
General deadbeatery.
Yeah. General deadbeatery. And it's not good. And
then Alex says, you know what? I'm gonna punch you.
He's immediately kicked out. It's like, yeah. And that makes sense. You can't.
Well, that's like a pretty big thing in a bar is like, don't start a bar fight. Even if there's no one else there, don't punch people.
Yeah. And honestly, like they really kind of like soft lead this in, right? Like Jimmy's kind of talking to Alex and he says, oh man, it's so crazy. You gave up, your dad was teaching you how to play guitar and you gave that up to save lives. Just imagine you could have been like me and played to four people every night. In this bar, like you could have been like me, which is like, bro, come on, read the room. But also, I think you spend half this episode where they're talking, you're rooting for him, and then there's the kid, the strawberry story, and then it's you kind of lead up, and then all of a sudden you're like, man, I'm so excited. The reveal's gonna be it's gonna be a picture of Alex, and Alex is gonna open up to this like redemption arc. And forgiveness arc. And no, Jimmy fucking sucks, bro.
Yeah.
Jimmy doesn't eat world. Jimmy eats shit. Okay.
Jimmy has this not is learned not... a gosh darn thing in his whole life.
No. Fuck.
So that is a bummer. And he's like, oh, my kid's 12 now. I left when he was 5. So just like a repeat.
Yeah. I left, but you know, he learned his lesson because he left before this one could beat the shit out of him. So he's clearly learned a lesson.
Yeah, I guess he learned that.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah, it's a bummer for Alex. It's a bummer for Nikki. Alex definitely needing some therapies. Who's Nikki? Nikki's the...
Oh, the kid. Nikki's the kid. I'm like, who the fuck did... What? Nikki? I forgot for a moment.
Then Alex is and him talking and Joe to Joe fight. And he throws a glass, which I don't love. We don't need to resort to violence. I understand he's very upset. Therapy, please. So especially with like the history we know Joe has with domestic violence, I especially did not care for that. I would find that to be like probably very triggering and difficult for her to deal with. So I didn't like that. But Alex, I do feel for Alex. I really do, because he says like, oh, I didn't know I could feel this crappy again 18 years later, however long. And it sucks. It sucks for him. You know, kind of feels like he's worked through so much with his past and like where he came from and his parents and what he fought through to get to where he is now. And so then to kind of feel like it just all goes backwards really sucks.
Yeah, it's a real, real big bummer. And again, like I go back to, as someone who has a tumultuous relationship with their father, not like this, right? Like Joe said, I made up a version of my dad. Alex is like, I have a dad. He sucks. And it's you look at it and I'm like, man, you're jamming with your dad on guitar. Like what mm-hmm. the ultimate closure is happening. Like Alex is getting, he's getting the closure. And it's just for a moment, what I thought was happening when Alex was singing the songs and Jimmy stopped, I was like, oh no, did Alex just sing like a song accidentally, like lyrics that his dad wrote and only he would know and he's putting it together. That's where my head went first.
No, it was like a song. I think that his dad taught him and that's where his head goes. But did you have like, what did you think? Okay. So obviously they make you think, okay, he's going to show you a picture of Alex. So what did you think it was going to happen? Like if he showed a picture of Alex, then what?
I think where my head would have been at is Alex would have had some closure that, okay, he's not perfect, but at least he regrets it. And
so you think he wouldn't have told him who the, oh, that's me.
Yeah. I think he would have just left it.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
That's what I would have done.
Interesting.
If faced with this exact scenario and this exact bringing up childhood.
Yeah.
Because I think at the end of the day, like this guy clearly still hasn't made amends. He's still doing drugs. He's, mm-hmm. you know, if he said something to the effect of, I live my life every day wishing that I could find my son and make things right. And like also at this point in time, like Facebook exists, bro. Like you could do anything. So yeah, I would, if that was where they went with it, I would have wanted Alex to not tell him that that's him. Be like, oh cool, cute kid, like amazing.
Yeah,
all right, gotta go.
Hope he's doing well.
Tell my girlfriend what I'm doing.
Yeah, have to go yell at people.
You know who I'm realizing we don't get in this episode at all? Jackson.
Yeah, so true. I did feel like it was very heavy on the former interns. Like I want to call them the interns, but they're not the interns anymore. But I'm like, how do I differentiate them from everybody?
That's how I'm making them in my notes. They're the interns.
Okay. But yeah.
Do you have anything else that you would want to put with this Alex and Jimmy storyline? Alex, Jimmy, and Joe, other than we don't condone domestic violence? And
I don't think so.
Don't throw glasses in anger.
Yeah. Talk to people, ask for help. Talk to your partners, ask for support. I think that's it. Do you want to rate it and make predictions?
Yeah. Did we have any Patreon questions at all, by the way?
No.
No. Okay. You know, we didn't really talk too much about the metaphor of the cup and the life and the traveling cup, but uh-huh. It did make it back from door to door. And for some miracle, Shane glued the whole fucking thing back together.
What I really wanted was for Derek to like pick it up when he was at home and pour something into it, and it just like pours out the cracks that Shane glued.
That'd have been so just funny.
Like, so it's like this cup is now useless.
I'm gonna say a number. I'm gonna shock you.
Okay.
I like this episode so much. I'm giving it a 5.
Well, I think it's a 4 for me. It's good. I just like it's not like there's just some things in it that people do that I don't like. But from an for episode sure. standpoint, I feel like it is good. Maybe it's a 4.5. We'll say 4.5.
I like. There's just an interesting take on the cinematography, the scenes, how they were
I did
cut
like
together.
That.
So there was a different pacing to the episode. It felt like very fresh in the pacing. And also the way that those scenes were written, and with the red cup kind of being the focal point, it kind of like it transitioned. It like the
it carried it almost like for you.
Yeah, it's you know how you would watch those karaoke songs and the red balls bouncing?
Yeah,
it felt
like
the red cup was kind of the karaoke ball taking you through this episode point to point. And then that reveal where Meredith is like, I have a cup just like this. Boom. And it's the journal is glued to it. I don't know. There's a lot of unique things in it. I like the plot twist with Jimmy. That was cool. I think it's setting up some really interesting storylines that I have no idea what the fuck is going on with Arizona and Leah.
Yeah.
This like interesting, we don't often find Christina on the outside looking in, but we have a scenario where she's on the outside of both of her ex-husband and her best friend. And then also just a Derek episode, just really fucking crushed it. The monologues were great. And, I don't know. It's a 5 for me. I liked a lot. There was not a lot of drama. Like,
yeah,
the reveal with Mickey was kind of a dramatic reveal and sad and a downer. Like, obviously, my teenage daughter was killed by a drunk driver. You better believe I'm fighting for justice for the rest of my life. Fuck that. The medical drama wasn't really there.
I think no there's bombs like and the drama is like, oh, we're doing this crazy brain mapping thing, and then Christina, you know, doing this never been done before surgery, and it's fine, but like it didn't feel like there was a dramatic build up to it. They're just telling us like, oh, these things are a big deal. I mean, the brain mapping thing is cool, like seeing him like, oh, I'm thinking of waving my hand and now this hand on this screen is waving, like that is crazy.
It is crazy. It was a 5, not for the content necessarily, but for how the content was presented.
Yeah, I did like sense? The. It was different, but in a good way. Because sometimes you get like a different director or a different writer, and you're like, this feels off, and it didn't feel off.
Yeah,
because it was really great. It was just different from the norm, quote unquote, for it. But I did enjoy it as well.
Yeah. And just to conclude why I gave it a 5, there's the scene with Leah where she comes out and says, all right, twist my arm. I'll tell you it's Arizona Robbins, number one. And then number two, I just want to recircle back. We've already shouted it out. But when Derek says that the time with Zola is not the consolation prize, that is the prize. Like, I felt that in my soul. I felt that so deeply. And yeah, just a lot of really great writing in this episode. It's getting a 5. And I will look back on this and I will still be happy with this, unlike the guts in the hand episode.
I'm glad you have regrets about that one.
I do.
That episode is terrible. This one is definitely not terrible. I think I wanted to mention when she does the twist my arm, it's Arizona moment. And Shane goes, "So you're gay now?" And she goes, "Oh, shut up. It's a scale. I just slid a little her direction." She goes, "If you have to label everything, label me in love." And I was like, I hate that so much. That is the stupid. They have kissed. Label me in love. Get into therapy. Oh, dear Lord.
And she's dumped within 5 seconds of saying that.
It's a bummer. Again, I feel bad for her. Yeah. But like, dear Lord, get it together, Leah.
She proclaims her love, gets dumped, and then gets a booty call text all within one episode. It's not going great for Leah.
And like, you know, she's excited when she gets that text. Like, that's another thing that kills me is I just know, like, when she gets that text from Arizona, she's like so stoked. And I'm like, that is, again, I know I already said it, but it's so fucked up of Arizona to do that.
Yeah, truly. All right, like, so let's do some...
We don't even really know what's going on with Callie in Arizona, like, in the long run.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, we obviously they're separated, but, like, there's been no other specifics given other than Callie being like, move out of my house.
Yeah. I predict that they will get a divorce. I predict that Leah and Arizona will for sure fuck, but they will not be in a relationship. I predict that Alex will go back to the bar and talk to his dad and tell him within the next 2 episodes that he is his son. I predict that next episode, Alex is going to apologize to Joe. I predict that within the next 8 episodes, Christina will tell Owen that she's still in love with him. And I predict Meredith's research grant on portal veins, 3D printed portal veins, will get approved. She'll get funded. But she will not sabotage this research trial the way that she did with the Alzheimer's trial. Remember that time?
I do recall.
Yeah. And then I also predict Weber is getting discharged next episode.
Okay. And he'll be
back
Shane?
To work. He'll be back to work within the next 5 episodes. So we're in episode 6. So by episode 11, Weber will be back to work. Or sorry, says 7. So by episode 12, we'll be back to work. Mm-hmm. But he'll be discharged next episode. Shane's going to confess his diabolical dealings to the interns. But I don't know when. I don't know when.
And what will the consequence be?
I have no fucking idea. Probably nothing. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, he didn't really kill her. He did put her in the scenario where she died. It's not the same thing. Yeah. It's shitty, but it's not, as we said earlier, it's not illegal to be mean.
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever.
I feel like, okay, so you did Arizona and Callie. Now I believe in the previous episodes you said they were not going to get divorced, but now you're saying they are going to get divorced.
I think Arizona's moving on a bit too quick. I think she's taken the out. You know, that's where my prediction's at.
Okay.
This is not the behavior of someone who actively wants to reconcile and fix their marriage.
What about Derek's research with Callie?
Oh, that's going to go great. They're going to get a Nobel Peace Prize.
They're going to cure brains.
They're going to cure all the brains.
Let's see. Yeah. Anything for Owen and Emma?
They're going to fucking keep making sweet, sweet banana bread, love.
Sweet.
And Christina's going to be jealous.
Banana bread love. Delightful.
Yeah. That's all I got.
Okay. So also you had predicted that Meredith and Christina wouldn't be in like a full fight, but that they would be like not normal.
Yeah. I'm sticking with that right now. I don't think they're gonna be in a full fight. I do think that step one is Meredith, sharing discontent with Christina.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Christina's going to double down. I think Christina's going to back off a little bit and try to be nice and maybe apologize. Because clearly it struck a chord, and I don't think Christina is so robotic that she doesn't understand that the parenthood thing and the career thing is really, like, she hit a nerve. I think that she recognizes that.
Yeah. Okay, I'm just going through my notes again. Alex playing the guitar. Did you have any thoughts on the guitars? I was surprised you didn't say anything about the guitars.
They were cool guitars. I would have to go back and look to see what actual guitars they were. I couldn't tell off the top of my head. Because I was watching it on my phone on the train.
Yeah. Trying to decide if he can actually play guitar, and it does not being clear if he does play guitar in the real world. Unclear.
I don't know either of them really sing in real life either.
No.
They carried a tune at best, but it was all
Remember the musical quality episode, though?
Yeah, yeah.
Something tells me your name is Lucy. Nailed it.
Oh, man. Remember when Teddy was there and what's-his-face wasn't killed yet?
Henry. Do you remember Denny?
Psh, I remember the murder that took place there.
Do you really think that was worse than Heather?
I don't know. It all sucks. All the murders suck.
I just don't think that Izzy killed Denny.
I don't know that we have enough time to dig into that one. And also, to be frank, I don't know that I remember enough about that episode to tell you.
I just think that he died of a clot.
Well, clots be clotting.
Yes, if anyone killed him, it's Dr. Han. Remember Dr. Han?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The queen of clots.
The clot clon. Clot Han. Clot Erica Clot Han. Okay. Do we have anything else to say about this episode?
I think we should end on the Erica Clot Han.
Well, comment. Let me real quick give like a 2-minute rundown on this dog situation.
Okay.
Because you want to know, and also maybe like 4 listeners want to know. So obviously,
I also can't talk anymore. So I'm going to be not talking anymore.
That's fine. I'm literally going to do 2 minutes. We've had Watson for about 2 years. He's 2. We got him when he was very young. He has a lot of energy. He's a Doberman. They need a lot of entertainment and a lot of stimulation. I do my best, but I also have a baby that I'm dealing with, and we want to make sure he gets exercise. We were contemplating finding a new dog. We did not want a puppy again because it's a nightmare to have a puppy and a baby at the same time. And so I was like, I'm not actively looking, but I do follow rescues and other things in the area. So if something comes up that could be a good fit, we will talk about it and then like introduce the dog. So I saw one the beginning of January, and then like 2 weeks later, it got chaired again. And it was the same rescue we got Watson from. And it was like, she's fully trained because she had already gone through the training. And then the owner got her back and was like, I don't like this dog anymore. Unclear why. The trainer asked if anything specific happened, and she was like, no, I just feel unsafe. Again, this dog is like half the size of Watson. She is very sweet.
Super
she's
cute.
Not goofy, I will say that. She's not like a goofy goober, but she's fine. I have kids. The trainer has kids. The trainer had a bunch of other dogs because she's a trainer. So she was like, I was like, great, she's fully trained. We did a little play date where we met at the trainer's house. They loved each other. We then did another play date here at our house where they played here and, you know, make sure Watson wasn't getting territorial over anything. She met the kids. She's great. We were like, all right, let's do it. So now we have 2 dogs. And Watson is thriving. They have played so much already.
Yeah, so, I told Jess that we're going to need to get another dog this year. So,
well, join the club, I guess.
But we'll be getting a puppy. We'll be getting a puppy.
Nope. Not
I love the puppy training. I love the puppy training.
I hate potty training. I hate potty training. I hate chewing. I got too many kids' toys on my floor to have a puppy. It's unrealistic for me to expect the baby to pick up her toys. And it's unrealistic of me to expect a puppy not to go, that looks yummy. So couldn't be me with a puppy.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
But that's our update. That's our puppy update. Our pup date, as it were. So her name is Tibby. That is the name she came with. I will not change it, mainly because she's, again, fully trained with that name and responds very well. So also, I just like don't mind it. I think it's cute. Watson and Tibby to me is just cute. And I'll call her Tidbit.
It is cute, yeah.
So that's her name. Living, loving, and she's laughing.
Cute. I need she's more pictures cute. Of her, actually.
I know. She's not very still. They play a lot, which I love. I want that. So I'll get some more good ones, though. But thank you guys so much for listening. Carmen is ill, so wish him well so he's not ill next week when we record. Please, if you want to get in touch, you can email graysacademypod@gmail.com. You can go to graysacademypod.com and find links to all of our socials, and you can message us. And please leave us some reviews, preferably 5-star reviews. Please tell all your friends and all your family to listen and just share. And we just really appreciate you guys so much. And if you see Carmen walking the cold, cold streets, just remember,
no spoilies. And we appreciate you all. We appreciate you all so much. We'll see you all in the next one.